Okay, we'll do the piece that we're doing tonight is at the beginning of the parasha of the Akedah. The word Nisa means he tested. Like the word that we're familiar with, Nisayin, is from the Shevish of Nisa. So it says that Hashem tested Avraham. And the Ramban, the piece of the paragraph at the top of the page, that's the Ramban on the pasuk. It's a short little piece. The Ramban says, Inyan ha-Nisayin hu ladati. It says, in my opinion, the way to explain the Inyan of Nisayin, now, over here, he just starts talking. He says, I'm going to explain it. Without explaining what it is that he needs to explain, what are the difficulties, what are the kashas that he's coming to answer. But there's really a twofold problem here. And as you see down below, there are other places where the Ramban is more marach on this topic. So in the Shaar Gemul, he explains a little bit more what was driving him here. But he had a twofold problem. The word Nisayin generally means to test. Now, the reason why we make tests is to find out information. The reason why a teacher tests the students is to find out how well they're doing. The reason why a scientist will test out the theory is to find out whether the theory is correct or not. A test is always supposed to help get some information that I don't currently have. So I make the nisayon, the vachina, the test, to learn something new. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodea HaKoyel, and he knows everything, so why would he ever need to make a test? So that's one question. Why would Hashem be making a test if he already knows whatever he's going to find out? And then, since presumably, and then the second half of the question that the Ramban is addressing is that since presumably it's not to find something out, so there's some other purpose of this, why is it called an Nisayon? First, why is Hashem doing it? He's not doing it to test something, to find something out, so why is he doing it? So we want to know why he's doing it, and then once we understand why he's doing it, but presumably it's not to find something out, so why then is it called an Nisayon? So the Ramban begins, in an Nisayon humadati bavur, because hayos maisa ha'adam rishus mukhletes biyadai. Since a person has absolute control over his actions, this is picking up right where we left off last week. Last week we were talking about this inyan, the Rambam. We said that this was the big concern of the Rambam in Parakeh of Chassidei HaTorah, which we were bringing in last week. So the Rambam begins with this idea that Maisa Adam Rishus Mukhlatis Biyadei, it's absolutely in his control. Im Yirtze Yaseh Im Lo Yirtze Lo Yaseh. A person always gets to choose. If he wants to do something, he does it. If he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't do it. So therefore, Yikari Nisayon Mitzad HaMenuseh. So the Nisayon is called a Nisayon. It really is a test, meaning it's a test which might go either way, and a person could pass or fail Mitzad the Menuseh, from the perspective of the one being tested. Aval HaMenaseh Yisbarach, but the one who's giving the test, Hashem Yisbarach, it's by the reason why he's commanding it is lahitzi hadavar min hakoyach el hapoyel, is to help bring what was there in potential out into actuality. Liyis leisacher ma'isatoyv leischar leibtev vovad, so that he'll be able to receive schar for his good deed, and not only schar for his good intentions. So the Ramban has explained two things. Ramban. I would start with the second one first. Why is Hashem giving a test? Hashem is not doing it to find out whether Avraham Avinu will do it or won't do it. Hashem knows whether Avraham Avinu will do it or won't do it. The level of Ava that is required to do this is already there in Avraham's heart, and Hashem could see that, the Ava, the Yira. And more than that, Hashem also sees the Asid and sees that when confronted with this challenge, Avraham will rise to the occasion and will do it. Zog the Ramban, the reason, what's in it for the Ribbono Shel Olam, is that he wants Avraham Avinu to get maximum schar for the madriga that he's achieved. Avraham Avinu has worked very hard to become a very big tzaddik, a tzaddik that could, let's call it, raise 1,000 pounds of Avas Hashem. And in the meanwhile, but in the normal course of a lifetime, one only gets confronted with opportunities to raise 600 pounds, 700 pounds All right, meaning there are you know, nice big maisim of avas Hashem that come upon you, but extraordinary maisim that require an even greater level of avas Hashem you never encounter in your ordinary. Avraham Avinu never encountered in his life experience up till now. So he was, you could call it, overqualified for his level of performance. He was able to perform at a higher level because he had developed himself, built himself up into someone who was able to perform at such a high level, and he was only performing at this high of a level, at a lower level, because the opportunity just wasn't there. What if you're just, you know, wake up in the morning in the dorm and coming to the Spanish and, you know, and going to First Seder and you know, helping people out during lunchtime. So you could get a lot of schar for that, but if you have the potential within you to be doing something on a vastly different scale, so that potential is going to waste. So in order now, as the Ramban indicates over here, there's schar for that also. This schar for the having developed yourself into such a tzaddik, such a ayev Hashem. After all, I would be moisif, avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, those themselves are mitzvahs. So you get schar for performing a mitzvah, you get schar every time you put on tefillin. And the better your mitzvah tefillin is, the more schar you get. If you do it with, you know, with chilul rishim, one with all the kavanas attached to it, then you get more schar than someone that just does mitzvahs nashim l'umada. So each mitzvah that a person is mekayim, he gets schar commensurate to how well he's mekayim it. The mitzvah of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, also you get schar commensurate to how much you're mekayim it. So in that sense, I think we could be sure that there was schar coming to Avraham Avinu for having the level of avas Hashem that made him a bar hachi to sacrifice his son for the Ribbono Shel Olam. But still, the schar that one gets for carrying out such an action is even greater. And since Hashem saw that Avraham Avinu already contained that much avas Hashem, and he wasn't being mitzi al apayol, so in a sense that level of his sitkas was going to waste. He wasn't going to get schar for that part of it. So the only way to increase Avraham's schar is to give him harder boards in the game that he has to master, so that he can get schar for those levels that he had already achieved also. The Maral has a hoysafa on this. The Maral said the Maral writes that at the beginning of the parasha, you know, it says, Alikim nisas Avraham. Alikim is a midas hadin. He also brings down that the lashon of the medrash that Rashi quotes over there in that pasuk about how the satan was being mekatrek, that he made this whole party and do anything for you, like the satan was coming to be mekatrek that Avraham hasn't done enough for you. So the Maral over there identifies the satan with the midas hadin. The way that he brings it down, it sounds like maybe that was his nusach in the medrash, or maybe, but I don't know if he means that he had a different nusach, or he just means to be equating them. Satan, midas hadin, these are different ways of referring to the same concept. But al kapanim, the pasuk uses the word elikim, which refers to the midas hadin. So between that and the medrash, this was being driven or motivated by the midas hadin. So he brings down, I don't think he brings down the Ramban by name, I don't think, but he seems to be quoting the Ramban. He uses the same terminology, but the way he phrases it is that the idea of giving schar for what's there, b'koyach, that's the midas harachamim. Meaning, if a person has achieved a level of tzidkus, but never had opportunity to act upon it, so, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, you can be sure that in Gan Eden you're going to get schar for that level of tzidkus to some degree. But that's because Hashem is a Baal Rachamim. The judge, in the, you know, City of New York justice system, he only judges actions. So the Maral says, Midas Hadin is to judge only actions. Midas HaRachamim is to judge for Lev also. He doesn't speak to that, but some part of the concept is that it goes the other way also. The idea of taking into consideration, let's say, by an Aveira, taking into consideration mitigating circumstances. The person does an Aveira. So there's a Midas HaDin that for this Aveira, you get such and such a punishment. For this crime in any system, if for such and such a crime, you get this punishment. But sometimes there are things that made it harder for me than for other people. You had particularly challenging circumstances. So now this, you could have, you know, in the course of Bus or Adam also in the United States of America, but But we would call that the midas harachamim of the justice system, that the judge has the right to take into consideration difficulties, you know, from the lave part of it, not the maisa part of it, and use that to affect his judgment, to sort of to temper his judgment with rachamim. So the midas harachamim is what gives schar for the lave toiv, and the midas hadin is what makbid that it be a maisa, and only gives schar for the maisa. So as the Ramban says, the purpose of the Nisayan is to be so the Maral says that's another way of saying that his schar should come through the Midas Adin and not through the Midas Arachamim Bilvad. So that's why it's Elikim, Nisas Avram. That's why Chazal talk about the Midas Adin or the Sadan being Mekatrik and saying, what has Avram ever done for you? Right? We call it Suda Sha'asa, what did he offer for you? Meaning, Avad in the Midas HaRachamim, Avram did so much more, but in the Midas HaDin, which distinguishes between Lev and Maisa, he hasn't done so much. That's what was Machayev, that's what the Rashi means also. That what was Machayev, or what prompted HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mitzav on this, is so that in the Midas HaDin would also feel justified in giving Avram Avinu Schar for that level of Tzitkas. Now, the Ramban continues. So he's explained why Hashem does it. And B'seich HaZvarim, he also explained that even though, of course, it's not a test in the sense that Hashem is learning anything new, right? Usually a test is to learn information. Hashem's not learning anything new. But it's a test mitzad Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu has absolute reshus mechletes to pass or to fail. And even if Hashem knew in advance that he was going to pass, but he, from his perspective, had the opportunity to pass or to fail, so for him it was a test. And the Ramban continues, V'da, ki Hashem hatzadik yivchon. That Hashem only makes such tests upon the tzadik. Kishuhu yedeya b'tzadik sheyaser etzayin v'chavitz, that when he knows about somebody, like he knew about Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son. And then Hashem wants to bring out more righteousness from that person. So then he'll command him in an Nisayin. He's never going to do this for the Rishayim that aren't going to do it anyway. So anytime the Torah talks about Nisayin, it's L'Tevas HaMenuseh. It's for the benefit, it's not for the benefit of the Menasim, and for the Rebbe Shalom, he's not learning anything. It's for the benefit of the Menuseh, the one that's subjected to the test, because he's gaining something. Now, in the whole piece over here, in the Ramban, he is sort of skirting around the larger issue. I mean, he says right there at the beginning that there's Rishus Mukhlates, right, that a person has absolute control over his Maisim, and he can perform the mitzvah, or he could fail to perform the mitzvah. Avraham Avinu had the power, the opportunity to perform the mitzvah or not to perform the mitzvah. And then in the very next line, he says, "Hu yedea b'tzadik sheyaser etzayne," that Hashem knows in advance. Right? There's elsewhere in the Shaar Gemul, when he talks about this, the Ramban brings down a medrash, one of the medrash over here on Hashem Nisas Avraham. The medrash says that if somebody wants to the blacksmith who wants to test his new furnace to see how strong it is, so he doesn't test it with the weak barrels that can't withstand the heat. He only tests it with the strong barrels that could withstand the heat. Kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Einay Menaseh HaRishayim She'en Yechelon Lamoid Esmihu Menaseh Es HaTzadikim Shenemar Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. So the Ramban is at the same time stating that Hashem knows the outcome before it happens, and then he's also saying that the outcome is not guaranteed. The person has the opportunity, it's perfectly possible that a person could fail because he has complete power over his actions. So on the back of your page, you have the classic source on this question. This is the Rambam. It's right next door to where we were last week. Last week we were looking at the Rambam. We started with the Rambam at the end of Perek Vav of Hilchos Teshuva, and then we went to the beginning of Perek Hei. And here that we have the Rambam at the end of Perek Hei. It's Perek Hei Halacha Hei, where the Rambam writes Shema Taymar. Now, I'll warn you before we start, it's not really the most satisfying Rambam to read because it leaves everybody a little bit frustrated because he doesn't fully answer the question. But I think it's, in some ways, I think it's a nice, a reassuring, first of all, it's a very central Maram Makam. It's an important idea to have, you know, in Yiddishkeit. But also the fact that the Rambam sort of addresses the question with such gravity, I think some people find nice to see. Look at the Rambam's lashon Shema Taymar. Remember, I mentioned last week the whole Perek Hei of Hilchos Teshuva was devoted to the fact that Harishus Nesuna, that a person has complete control over his actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never compels a person to do a mitzvah or an aveira. A person is never predetermined to do a mitzvah or an aveira. A person has absolute bechira, chavshis, free choice to do the mitzvah, not to do the mitzvah, to stumble into the aveira, or to protect himself. Shema Toimah. So at the end of the parak, he says, but maybe you'll ask, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yedeh kol ma sheyeh, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen, because sheyeh yodah, sheyeh yeh tzadik hay rasha, or you'll present the question, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu know, or did he not know? If Hashem knew that the person was going to be a tzaddik, then yafshar shelo yehi tzaddik. Then it's impossible for him not to be a tzaddik. If you'll say sheyada shehi tzaddik, that yeah, Hashem knew he would be a tzaddik, but efshar yehi rasha, but he also might have been a rasha. Hari lo yada hadavar alburiya. Then Hashem didn't really know. I mean, if Hashem knew that he's probably going to be a tzaddik, but he might be a rasha, that means Hashem didn't really know. Here, and that's what I've been saying in this whole parak, that a person might not be a tzaddik. Every person might be a tzaddik, might not be a tzaddik. And yet we believe that Hashem is an all-knowing God. So there's the question, which the Ramban in this paragraph already grabbed onto both sides of, that yes, Hashem knows, and yes, the person has the opportunity in both directions. The Ramban writes, Da... He says this is one of the hardest, deepest questions in the universe. This question, by the way, it's referred to as the question of Yedias Hashem versus Bechira Chafshis, the conflict between Hashem's foreknowledge and man's free will. Everything depends on this question, and it's very long and very deep. You need to know the following. And the full quote is there on the side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino yodea midea shehi chutz mimenu k'bnei adam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows something, he doesn't know it with a knowledge that's outside of himself. The way man knows things, shehem v'datam shnayim, man and his knowledge are two entities. Ela hu yisal shmai, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisbarach, Vidate, and his knowledge, Echad, is one. The Lashon, let's take one piece of the Lashon in the paragraph on the side, which is, you say the Atera Beis Yud, he says that this is related to Achdus Hashem, Hashem Echad, Hu Echad, we call Tzad, we call Pinum, we call Derech Yichud. At the end of the paragraph, it says, Nimseisa Atoimer, Hu hayedeya, hayadua, v'hadas atzma. He is the knower. He is what's known, and he is knowledge itself, or he is the wisdom that knows it. Hakol echad, and then he ends off. V'davar zeh in koyach bepel la'omroi, v'loy ba'ozen l'shamoi, v'loy b'leiv ha'adam la'hakirei alburiyai. These are words that are impossible to say. Words that are impossible for the human ear to hear, and for the heart to understand. So, in other words, he's saying that these are facts that we know to be true, but the concepts are really above our grasp. I think he mentions over there also, he brings in the pasuk in Yeshaya, that this is what it means. Gavhu machshavaisim machshavaseichem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know things the same way that we know things. When we have a piece of knowledge, so there's us and there's the knowledge, and there's a relationship between them. But I think Be'erek, what he says over there, is that because all the things that there are to know are part of him, so it's really part of his self-knowledge, all the knowledge that he has. And so it's not something outside of himself. So coming back to his sentence over here, in HaKas Shuva, Ukeshem She'en Koyach Ba'odam, just like man can never know the essence of Hashem, that pasuk in Kisitse where it says that a person cannot survive knowing, cannot survive seeing me. The Rambam says it doesn't mean literally seeing him, and a person will die if he sees him. There's nothing to see. He's not. He doesn't have What it means is that he's incomprehensible and that it's not compatible with the human brain to have an understanding of the divine. That's what it means. Just like a person can't know the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too a person can't understand the das of the Bayre. What I thought was over there. And you said, the kibun shekain, who since it once it's so in banu koyach leida heich yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kalabum ha'maisim aval. So we don't understand how Hashem knows, but He knows. Aval neidav olay safek, but nevertheless we should know for a fact shemaisa adam biyad ha'adam. That again, the yisayid that he wrote at the beginning of the parak, that a person has absolute control over his actions. Vein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moish gam le'goy zol avlas tzkach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not compel him to act. He says there are philosophical proofs to this, and nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could know, and these two facts, which may seem incompatible to us, but they are compatible, and we can't understand it. That's really the Rambam's bottom line. The Ramban is embracing that fully, because here, in turning back to the Ramban, here in this one paragraph, he says that. That he talks in discussing the Nisayan about both the fact that it was a Nisayan Mitzat HaMenusa, at the same time that he's saying that the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it was because he was Chafetz LaHatzdika, because he knew that everyone was going to pass. This is the Mishnah in Avos that says, we kept on using the expression Harashus Nisuna, that's the way we describe the idea of Bechira Chafshas. In the Mishnah puts these two together. The Mishnah in Perek Beis of Avos says Hakol Tzafui v'Harashus Nesuna. Hakol Tzafui means everything is foreseen. V'Harashus Nesuna means that the permission or the power is granted to perform or not to perform. The Rambam on that Mishnah, the Rambam in the Pirush of Shnayit, he doesn't go into this whole long thing over there. He just writes one thing. I think it's very gishmak. The Mishnah starts Hu Ayah Oymer. The previous Mishnah was quoting Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam's lashon is. There's no one better than Rabbi Akiva too. You know, Rabbi Akiva is in a lot of ways the sort of presented by Chazal as the most outstanding of the Tanayim. The things that they say about Rabbi Akiva seem to go beyond what Chazal say about anyone else or almost anyone else when it comes to Tanayim. He's the biggest superstar. The Rambam is saying, you need the biggest Tana to say, because these four words of this Mishnah are the deepest part of the Torah. Hakol Tzafui v'Harashus Nesuna. Roi Mayim Rezeh Shehil Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam says. Okay, now turning back to the Ramban. So we read that small paragraph at the top. Now, as you can see, the page is filled with many, many more words and letters. We're not going to go through this inside. But just to give you an idea of what this is from. This is an excerpt from, you see, it says Teres Adam, it says Shara Gamol. Just a little bit of a description of what this is. The Ramban wrote a sefer called Teres Adam. It's a very unique sefer. But the Tekuvos HaRishonim, you know, nowadays it's become very much the style to write
a topical sefer, a sefer on an individual topic, right? An author will learn up a sugya very well, and then he'll put out the sefer with all you ever wanted to know about one area of Torah, be it Hilchas Brachas, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Pesach, Hilchas Shavuot HaKein, as we have in the back. And there's really on every topic under the sun, there, you know, the Svarma and Hilchas Mezuzah, Hilchas Tefillin. But this is a relatively new phenomenon. In the times of the Achronim, you didn't really have much of this. In the times of the Rishonim, almost never. They wrote Pirushim on Alashas, which go through all the sugyas as they come up. They wrote Sifrei Halacha, but their Sifrei Halacha also, for the most part, go through all the topics, or many, many topics. There's, offhand, I don't know if I could think of another example, but the Ramban wrote one sefer, which is very much a 20th century kind of a sefer. He wrote a sefer on the topic of Avelos. A little bit more broad than Avelos, because it starts off with Hilchas Cholim, and treating Cholim, and Bikur Cholim, Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh, which has to do with dying, right, with the transition from right, being Mechal Shabbos for a Chole, and then the halachas of dying, the halachas of Kriya, tearing Kriya, the halachas of Aninus, and the halachas of Avelos. So it's a halacha sefer devoted to what we would call nowadays end-of-life issues. And each one of those is a shar. There's the shar of Aninus, the shar of Avelos, the shar of, I think, of Refuah or Sakana, Shar HaSakana maybe. And the shar of Avelos, then there's one shar called Avelos Yeshana, which is about Tisha B'Av. That comes into the sefer also because that's Avelos. So the general theme of the sefer is Avelos. And it's all halacha. It's a straight halacha sefer. Not halacha as in like a Kitzur Piskei. You know, it's the Ramban learning halacha. He learns the sugyas with you. He brings down the Gemaras. He goes through the difficulties in the sugya, kashas terutzim, and arrives at maskanos and paskins the halacha. And then the last shar of that sefer is called Shar HaGemul. Shar HaGemul is not a halacha topic at all. It is in Yonei Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kares, the Din L'Rosh Hashanah, the Din L'Atzid Lavai, these cosmic questions of how Hashem responds to our behavior. All the things that happen from Hashem's side in response to our behavior, clearly this is in Yonei Machshav and not in Yonei Halacha. Okay, the first ta'ara is that, you know, nowadays people, you know, nobody would write a sefer that covers both of, there are halacha experts and there are Yonei Machshava, Amuna experts. But to the Ramban, Kol Torah Kulo is a chativa achas. It was, he's learning sugyas, it doesn't matter whether it's a sugya of halacha or a sugya of agarata, it's the same kind of learning Torah. But what is this shar doing in the Torah Sa'adam? Because it's the next step. After a person dies, then he goes to the next world. So he talked about the person getting sick, he talked about the person dying, he talked about the Avelos. Well, the next step is to talk about what happens to the person after he dies. So he tries to answer the questions that Yidden have about things like Gan Eden, Gehenim, Olam Haba, L'Asa Lavoi, Tchias HaMesim, Mashiach, all such questions. Not Mashiach. I mean, Mashiach only insofar as figuring out what the different stages are of L'Asa Lavoi, so we know where Tchias HaMesim fits in and where Olam Haba fits in. And that shar is called the Shar HaGemul. Now, what's here on the bottom of the page, all these columns are excerpted from the Shar HaGemul. At the end, the second to last paragraph, the one that begins with Tishal V'Tonimar, the second half, roughly, of that paragraph is saying over what we read up above, the piece, more or less the piece that he has here in Parshas Vayera, with some hisafa, with some elaboration. That's what he has over there. He writes, "Sheyesh bnei adam sheisim mitzvahs umaisim tevim kishiyadam maseges gishem shalva v'revach." And some people that do fine, they do all the mitzvahs great, as long as things are going well for them. But if they're under difficult circumstances, in a nice time, then they wouldn't do the mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matshviach al yireyev b'ksas nesayin kidei she'ikavu mitzvahs v'yasveis v'mitaychah toyrech. He wants to raise them to the next level. Those that would still do it, even v'mitaychah toyrech, he wants them to have that toyrech so that they could do it, v'mitaychah toyrech, like we said before, l'haitzi min ha'koyach el ha'payel. But what's the larger context over here? I mean, as you can see, this is the end of a three-column excerpt that I put over here. What comes into the middle of is something that you completely don't see in the piece over here in Vayera. But in the Ramban's mind, this was part of a much, much larger discussion, which I guess time doesn't allow us to really go through fully. But the Ramban spends a long time in Shaar Gemol talking about Yisurin. The Ramban is coming to make the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never sends Yisurin to a person except because of Averis. Yisurin can only come because of Averis. He had really built up that Yisurin earlier than this excerpt, but if you want to take a look, in the paragraph at the bottom of the second column, it's very geshmack a piece. He brings a Gemara in Perek Chelek, in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph, where he tells a story. Now, Rav Elazar got sick, and Talmidim came to visit him. And he said, "Oh yeah, I'm feeling so, so sick." So all the Talmidim started to cry, except for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva started to laugh. He went to visit the Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, and he's telling him how I'm so, so sick. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. So he says to him, you know, that Rabbi Akiva always does that. When everybody else is crying, he's laughing. There's a number of stories in Chazal that follow that motif. So they asked him, "Why are you laughing?" So he says, "Why are you crying?" And they said, why are we crying? Sefer Torah, Betzar, V'lein Nivke. He said, "L'kach ani mesachek, because kol zman that I see that our Rebbe is going great, his wine's not getting sour, and his flax doesn't go bad, and his oil didn't get spoiled. I said, oh no, maybe he's getting the schar for his mitzvahs in this world. Achshashani raya, Rebbe Betzar, but now I see him Betzar, so I'm happy." So Rabbi Eliezer, from the sick bed, while he's moaning and groaning, he turns to him and he says, "Akiva, kum chasarti min ha-teira kum? Did I do anything wrong?" So Rabbi Akiva says back to him, "Limadatonu Rabbeinu, Adam ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yasa teiva la'yechta. Didn't you teach us that there's no such thing as a human being who's perfect? You asked me, did you do anything wrong? Of course, I'm sure you did things that are wrong. And so I'm so happy to see that you're sick now, because that's that's what you're getting for all the things that you did wrong." So the Ramban says, Rabbi Akiva was a derech eretz sticker boy. He was a fine Talmud. He wasn't coming to make Rabbi Eliezer feel bad. If there was any such thing as Yisurin coming just because Hashem loves you, then he would have said, "Oh, these are Yisurin of love." He wanted to say the nicest thing he could to Rabbi Eliezer, and he said, "Nobody's perfect." So the Ramban says, from that Gemara I see that there's no such thing as Yisurin coming without if they're not attached to any kind of an Aveira. So that's his Aleph, that's his Yisurin. Now, you probably, many of you are familiar with the Gemara in Brachas that talks about Yisurin Shel Ava. And the Gemara says that if a person sees Yisurin Bar Nalav, so Yifashvish B'maisav, if he finds that he did anything wrong, he should be tell on that. If he can't find anything, he should be tell about Avon Betel Torah. And if he can't find anything like that, anything in either category, then there Yisurin Shel Ava. So what that Gemara sounds like it means to say is that sometimes Hashem brings Yisurin even if he didn't do anything wrong. It's just Ava, which I think the way most people explain is that through suffering, your schar in the next role will get higher. But the suffering itself adds the chusam to a person. The Ramban, that's the, I guess, the Pasha Pshan in that Gemara. The Ramban is very strongly against that Pshan in the Gemara. So the Ramban says, Avada there for Averis. We're talking about a person that doesn't have any Averis. He's a Mephashish from Isaac, he doesn't have any Averis. So Ramban, and again, this is all a little bit tangential to us, but he's from there he's going to come into the Inyan of Nisayin. But the Ramban first for this, he says a beautiful yisoid. This is itself a very geshmaka Ramban. And we have such a piece in Vayikra also. He brings it down in his Pirushal Chumash. The Ramban says that what these Yisroel are coming for are the Averis B'Shoytik. We said he has no Averis. The Ramban has a nice chiddush that I think makes a lot of people feel better when they learn this, because we're accustomed to thinking that an Avera B'Shoytik is also an Avera, a real Avera. It's a lower level, but it's a full-fledged Avera that, since it's an Avera, so theoretically one could go to Gehenna for it. Obviously not as severely, not with the same heat as an Avera B'Mezid. It's a smaller Avera, big Avera, small Avera. That's how we think of a Shegig. The man says, no. A Shegig is not an Avera that one would ever go to Gehenna for. Nobody needs a punishment for an Avera, for a Shegig. It's not your fault. But even though it's not your fault, now the man says two things, and because we're being Mekatzer, I'm just going to say one. The one that really, I guess, is easier for me to say in this context. The Ramban said that even though it's not an Avera that you could ever get punished for, but it still affects who you are. It has an effect on the person. It affects his neshama. Every time a person does a mitzvah, he comes closer to the Rebbe Shalom. A person does an Avera, he becomes more distant from the Rebbe Shalom. It's call it a stain, call it a dent on the neshama. And when he comes to Gan Eden, the ability to which he's going to be able to experience Gan Eden is commensurate to the purity of his neshama. So the Averis B'Shoygeg damage the person. They're not held against him. Hashem does not punish for Averis, but the person becomes damaged goods and is not going to be able to enjoy the schar for his mitzvahs to the same degree because of those Averis B'Shoygeg. So there's such a thing as the Karban Chatas. The Karban Chatas is Mechaper, meaning it takes away that damage. That's Bezman Shemesh Mekdash Kayim. Bezman Shemesh Mekdash Kayim, then what does that? That's what the Gemara calls Yisurin Shel Ava. At first, the person was Mefashvesh B'Maisav, and he wasn't over on any Mitzvah Leisas or Mitzvah Sasei, which is how the Ramban touches up those two stubs in the Gemara had earlier. No Mitzvah Leisas, no Mitzvah Sasei. He didn't find any, meaning because there was none B'Mezid. There's only a Shegek. Shegek, he doesn't know. He didn't walk because he didn't know it was Shabbos. But maybe he still doesn't know that it was Shabbos, so he's not going to find it. So he was mefashvesh v'loy matzah, but l'maisa, he's damaged. So he's going to get yisurin. It's not to punish him, that's why it's called yisurin shalava, it's just to straighten out the dents so that he could be nena more in Gan Eden. That's what he calls yisurin. So that was this whole arichas that the Ramban was talking about, how basically there's no such thing as yisurin b'loy chet. I think about yisurin shalava. He has an original pshat, a creative pshat, in Nekamar by Yisroel Shalava. Then after all that, he comes and he says, but what about the inyan that we find in the Torah and Chazal called Nisayim, which seemingly is Hashem, he gives a person difficulties, tsarais, Yisroel, to see how good he is. So isn't that an example of Yisurin without chait? Like over here, where Avram Avinu went through this torturous process of thinking that he had to part with his son forever, and not only part with him, but he had to actually do it, if we think, right? You know, we always think about the Maisa of the Akedah as the challenge of, you know, of whether yes to do it or not to do it. But quite aside from that, once he's doing it, the torture, the psychological torture that this was, Yisurin. This is Mamash Yisurin. And other Nisayonos that we have also could be just, you know, that when a person is confronted with a Nisayon, a person, let's say, has the Nisayon of Aini, right? Could he serve Hashem even though he's very poor? But it's Yisurin to be very poor. So Nisayonos are Yisurin, and Nisayonos aren't in response to Averis. So isn't that then a steerer to the Ramban's Yisoy that there's no such thing as Yisroel without an Avera? So that's why the Ramban and the Shaar Gemul brought up this whole topic, this inyan of Yisroel, and then to that he answers, I mean, that's why he brings up over there the topic of Nisayin. It's part of his discussion about Yisroel. And to that he says, in the paragraph, right, and that's, no, sorry, not that paragraph. That's also a Geshmak idea, but we'll skip that one.
Then the next paragraph, I'm Tishal v'Toymar. Halayim v'furish b'teri sheyesh yisurin shel nesayin kegayin elikim yisayas Avraham. So isn't that a steer to my say that all yisurin come as a result of an Avera? So to that he says, no. That's not yisurin for the sake of suffering. That's yisurin just for the sake of making the mitzvahs harder. Yisurin that we were talking about, I was talking about before, that always come as a result of an Avera, is not related to a person's mitzvahs. That's suffering just to cause a person to suffer. Hashem, like Rabbi Elazar getting sick, was sent to him so that he should feel sick. That's only because he had an Avera. Rabbi Elazar was a great tzaddik. It's a Surin Shal Ava, so it was an Avera B'Shoyge, not an Avera B'Mezit. But that's only if it was sent for an Avera. What happened by the Akedas Yitzchak, where Hashem sent what the Torah calls an Esoyin, so that means Sheyesh B'nei Adam Sha'isim Mitzvah Ma'isim Tovim when they're B'Shalva. When we take a doichak, then they wouldn't do it. So Hashem sends kitzas nisayin so that they should do the mitzvahs mitecha toirach. And therefore he says, this is a whole different thing. Midas zoi, in the last paragraph, midas hatoivahi, ena midas nekamu peranos. This has nothing to do with retribution, with punishment. This is just to bring out a better key of mitzvah. It's to sort of raise the level of the board on which the person is doing mitzvahs. So therefore, so that Yitaka have even without an Avera. But that's a unique case. That's not in the category of Yisurin, that's in the category of Nisayan. So that's how he came into this Nisayan topic in the Shaar Gemol. But again, and over there, the main point that he is mazbir l'gabi the nesoyin is like he says over here that it's l'toivas hamenusa that he should be able to might see the tzidkus that he had b'koyach al apoyos so that the schar could be given for the b'poyel. Okay.